roses bloom. And when you speak, angels sing from above. And everyday words seem to turn into love songs. You gave your heart and soul to me, and life will always be la vie.
Bill Greenough's Chanson with singer Catherine Lanham in 2000. I'll be back next Saturday at 5, but now here on BBC Radio 3, here's Julian Joseph and Jazz Lineup.
Welcome, the blowing horns of Super Sax Korea, who feature as part of tonight's very special concert set. And we have an interview with German bassist, band leader and band creator Martin Zenker about this fascinating collaborative concert featuring musicians from Europe and Korea. And as it's Valentine's Day, let's open with something vintage to fit the occasion, featuring the great American vocalist Andy Bay. Bay came onto the scene as a teenager singing with his family in the late 50s, and he started his recording career with them into the 1960s, and throughout his distinguished solo career has teamed up with the likes of Stanley Clarke and Dee Dee Bridgewater. Bay was one of the pioneers amongst jazz vocalists to include repertoire drawn from non-typical sources. But here he is with the Bay Sisters and Everybody Loves My Baby, But My Baby Loves Me.
Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. Yes, everybody wants my baby, but my baby don't want nobody but me. That's plain to see. I say, oh, when my baby kisses me upon my rosy cheeks, I just let those kisses be. Don't wash my face for weeks. That's why everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. I say, when my baby kisses me upon my rosy cheeks, I just let those kisses be. Don't wash my face for weeks. That's why everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. Nobody.
Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters with guitarist Kenny Burrell and Everybody Loves My Baby, But My Baby Loves Me, kickstarting our show on this Valentine's Day. Well, you may have heard our special South African jazz-themed show a few weeks ago, featuring saxophonist Shabaka Hutchings and a performance from the Blue Notes. Well, there's a whole tradition and legacy present in the British jazz scene. Loose Tube's founder members Django Bates, Chris Batchelor, and Eddie Parker, to name a few, were all inspired and influenced by the musical outlook and sound of many of the South African musicians who settled here. So, from 1989, this is Django Bates with First House and Hollyhocks. Hollyhocks from First House in 1989. Ken Stubbs was on sax, Mick Hutton bass, Martin France on the drums, and Django Bates was on piano. And Django certainly reflects a deep love for the sound of South African music in his playing, mixed in with a myriad of other flavors. And if you enjoyed that, check out our South African Flavored Show, which we broadcast a few weeks ago. It's still available via the BBC iPlayer, and also worth checking out is our photo gallery on the Jazz Lineup page, which features some gorgeous South African landscapes. Norwegian sax man of the hour, Marius Neset, has a new album called Pinball. All the players are familiar to British audiences, as Ivo Neem and Anton Eiger on piano and drums make up two-thirds of Phrenesis. Petter Eldt is familiar to fans of Django Bates' beloved trio, and Jim Hart is a collaborator and solid figure on the British jazz scene. Marius has a gift for intricacy in his compositions and certainly reflects that on the new album. Here's one of the more straightforward pieces. This is Theatre of Magic. Thank you. That was the sound of Norwegian tenor man Marius Nesset and a piece co-written with drummer Anton Eiger called Theatre of Magic. Marius is on a European tour at the moment and just played St Andrews in Southport last week. He plays the Purcell Room at the South Bank Centre in London on March the 18th and Southampton's Turner Sims Hall on the 19th. And a few more dates around the UK, so check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website for more details. Also in the calendar is a special Jazz Lineup session featuring Marius, which will be broadcast in the weeks to come. His latest album is called Pinball and out on the ACT label. Well, from the action-packed sound of Nesset back to British soil and tenor man George Crowley, who is a recent mainstay of the London jazz scene and releases his second album for the Whirlwind Recordings label. And the music sits in the centre of well-made jazz in this country as George generously shares tenor duties with Tom Challenger. This is Ubiquitous Uptune in 3. Ubiquitous Uptune in 3 from British tenor man George Crowley, who was in your left speaker, with Tom Challenger, also on tenor, and in your right speaker. Dan Nichols was on piano, Sam Lasserson on the bass, and John Scott on drums. The album is called Can of Worms and is a fitting follow-up to his Assured debut and is released on March the 23rd. And if you liked what you heard, then you can hear George and the guys in Scotland as they play the Jazz Bar in Edinburgh on the 18th of February and the Glasgow Art Club on the 19th. There are more dates throughout February across the UK, culminating at the Vortex in London on the 5th of March. And for more details of their other dates, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Shortly, we'll be hearing a special concert set by Super Sax Korea, featuring musicians from Europe and Korea, led by Martin Zenker. The German bass man has performed with many greats, including Jimmy Cobb, Billy Hart, James Moody, and our very own Peter King, amongst many more. He was professor of bass and jazz history in Seoul, South Korea, from 2008 to 2012, but is now back in Germany and also working in Mongolia. So before we hear the concert highlights, let's get inside the mind of this global jazz messenger.
My name is Martin Zenker, and I'm a bass player from Germany, originally from Munich. I started playing the bass 1983, fascinated by Percy Heath, the great late jazz player of the modern jazz quartet. And I've been basically freelancing, traveling not all of the world, but most parts of it, until 2008, when I was called to become a professor at Kyunghee University in South Korea for double bass and jazz history. And after 4 years, I went back to Germany again, and since half a year, I live in Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, to start a jazz program at the local university there in cooperation with the Goethe Institute. And on the side, I've still play lots of concerts in Asia and Europe with great musicians. I just finished a tour with Jesse Davis and Billy Hart. I work a lot with British musicians too. That's what I do. When I was a kid, like 7 years or so, I wanted to play violin. That was my thing, and I bothered my parents until I got a violin. And then, so I was always interested in music, obviously. And then when I was around 12, 13, I got interested in jazz. And back then, the modern jazz quartet had their reunion. They broke up in 72, and they got together in 82, so they got a lot of airplay, and that was in the days where you still listened to radio, you know? When you wanted to listen to jazz, you turned on the radio and listened to it. There was no YouTube or something. And I bought my first jazz record, and it happened to be Modern Jazz Quartet, and I heard Percy Heath, and I thought, this is what I want to do. Started playing, I had lessons, I started studying classical music. I got actually kicked out of school, so I had an early start. I think as a bass player, you are at the bottom end of things, so you are the closest connection to drums, the closest connection to the harmony. So you're responsible for, I mean, everybody is responsible for everything in the band, but as a bass player, you have your responsibility for time and harmony is crucial. It's a fundament, it's the bottom, it's the basic. So if you're not strong, you can't build a house on it. The band will suffer. If you have a weak saxophone player and a strong rhythm section, the music still sounds good. If you have a weak rhythm section, it just sounds weak. And the bass is the center of the rhythm section. So I think the focus on the moment, on the energy, on precision, is extremely important for a bass player, and that's what breathes some soul and some life into the music. Considering what's going on in the world and what's happening, I don't think music itself can heal by listening, but music and musicians can be a great example because it's borderless and there is no language barrier in music. We all speak the same language, so it's a great way to show that human beings don't have to be different and they can work with each other, even if they are from different cultures and from different beliefs. Musicians can do that, and they do it, and so they can set a good example. And I have seen that in Korea, and I've seen that in many places, that you actually get to know and get into a culture via music very quickly. And so in that regard, music really has the ability to connect people and cultures. And that hopefully helps to make this world a more peaceful place. What a lot of people don't expect is that Korea has a huge jazz scene. In Seoul, there is maybe 10, 12 universities that all offer a jazz program. And we're one of the smaller ones, and we had 200 students. I had 16 or 17 bass players most of the time. And they're all very diligent, and jazz is very well appreciated there. You walk in any coffee shop, you hear Sonny Rollins, you even hear Eric Dolphy in a coffee shop sometimes. And people really want to learn. Coming up on the show, you'll hear some music from that was broadcasted and recorded from Bayerischer Rundfunk on a concert we did in a jazz club in Munich. And it was part of a fairly big festival, including 30 concerts all over Germany with 15 Korean musicians, many different bands, many different locations. It's called the Korean-German Jazz Exchange. Part of this thing was what we called the Super Sax Band. And we did, I think, 7 concerts with the band, with some German musicians and Korean musicians. And it was great. We have done that before in Korea. The same configuration, the same group of musicians has played the tour in Korea before. So it was fun to bring that project on stage in Germany. It's not easy to do a 7-piece group, you know. So and we're very happy with the outcome.
Your story to
Special thing about music and jazz in particular, it gives you so many opportunities. I mean, first of all, it's the music, which is great and which I love, and which takes you to another level of consciousness when you play with the right musicians. It helps you to get totally lost of your ego, because you just get into the moment, you are aware of the moment, you make choices in the moment, and you can only do that when you're just conscious about the moment and about the music. It's a state of mind that I get a lot of energy from and that I really appreciate. And then, of course, it offers millions of possibilities and opportunities. You meet great people. I was just playing with Billy Hart, who has been on top of the game for 50 years, and it's just extremely rewarding to be around people like that. I know a lot of people get sometimes frustrated about the financial situation or the work situation, which I have to admit is not that great, but we get a lot of other things in return if we really stay true to our music and true to our passion, and that's what I've been trying to do, and it's been good so far. Thank you.
Bassist Martin Zenker and his quartet, and That's Because I Am, taken from his album For the Years to Come, and featured on that track was vocalist Natalie John. And fascinating insights from the musical brain of the man behind Super Sax career, Martin Zenker. Well, let's get straight to the music. It's time now for tonight's highlights from a concert set from Super Sax career, featuring Martin Zenker, recorded at the Unterfahrt Jazz Club, Munich, on Wednesday the 4th of December, 2013. Kim Jusok is on alto and soprano saxophones. Jin Purim is on alto saxophone. Im Dalkyun is on tenor saxophone. Michael Lutzea plays the baritone saxophone. And British musician Paul Kirby is on the piano. Kim Minchin is on drums and Martin Zenker is on bass. And the band opened their set up with Oliver Nelson's Yearning. Super Sax Career, ending tonight's concert set with Mr. Sims. Kim J. Soak is on alto and soprano saxophones. Jin Purim is on alto saxophone. Im Dalkyun is on tenor saxophone. Michael Lutzeyer is on baritone saxophone. The British artist Paul Kirby is on piano. Kim Minchin is on drums. And Martin Zenker is on bass. And that was recorded at the Unterfahrt Jazz Club in Munich on Wednesday, the 4th of December, 2013. And tonight's concert set was brought to you courtesy of the European Broadcasting Union. And for more information on all the titles played on tonight's program, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, from Germany back to the UK, but via Israel and Poland in the hands of percussionist Asif Circus and vocalist Sylvia Bialis and their international quartet. The music reflects and combines both of their cultures with taste and delicacy. This is The Haunting Dreams Dreams. Thank you.
tracks.
As if Circus and Sylvia Bialis with that beautiful version of their Dreams, Dreams from their latest album titled Come To Me, out now on the SBPQ label. Frank Harrison was on piano and Patrick Betterson on the bass and harmonica. Next up, another international quartet, this time with Italian drummer Enzo Zirilli at the helm. The group combines British and Italian talent with guitarist Jim Mullen and Luca Boscaggin, Ross Stanley on organ and Zirilli on the drums. It's an album of mostly standards, tastefully executed, and this is their take on the Rolling Stones' classic Satisfaction. Satisfaction from drummer Enzo Zirilli's Radio Londra, and that's also the title of the album, out now on the Trio Records label. Well, that's almost the end of this week's jazz lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight, and Jazz on 3 on Monday night with Jez Nelson at 11. This week, Jez has US piano men Robert Glasper and Jason Moran performing as a duo at the 2014 London Jazz Festival. And on next week's jazz lineup, a special 79th birthday concert featuring saxophone legend Bobby Wellens, recorded at the South Coast Jazz Festival. To sign off with tonight, a release from the Live Love series of recordings made by Radio Bremen. From 1977, the Horace Silver Quintet were captured on great form with Tom Harrell on trumpet, Larry Schneider on tenor, Chip Jackson on the bass, Eddie Gladden on the drums, and piano maestro Horace Silver. This is his classic composition, Song for My Father. Until next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye. Thank you.
Song for My Father by the Horace Silver Quintet, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. As ever, you can find more information about the music in the programme from its page on the BBC Radio 3 website. And Jazz Lineup will be back next Saturday as part of our Saturday evening Jazz Zone at the usual time of 6 o'clock. Hello, I'm John Shea. Welcome to this Saturday evening on BBC Radio 3. And if you've been following our coverage during the past week of Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic's London residency, well, it's all about to culminate in our live concerts featuring Mahler's Second Symphony. That's in a minute or so. But before that, we've just received this postcard from Andrew McGregor.
This is Havana, Cuba. I'm on the Malecón, the great boulevard that runs along the edge of the Atlantic from the yacht club where Ernest Hemingway used to moor his boat towards the famous Hotel Nacional, part of the Havana Mafia's portfolio in the 50s, before Castro's revolution changed Cuba forever. But through all the change and upheaval in Cuba's history, from Spanish colonization to the post-Soviet deprivation of the 1990s, classical music has been a vital part of the mix, alongside the popular sounds of son and salsa.
Join me, Andrew McGregor, on location in Havana to explore the current state of Cuba Classica. Sunday feature at 6:45 tomorrow evening on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 7:30. And time now for Live in Concert, which comes from the Royal Festival Hall here in London. It's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Good evening. A warm welcome to what promises to be the glorious climax of a triumphant residence here in London by Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. A performance of Mahler's Resurrection Symphony, his second symphony. Over the past week, the orchestra's Sibelius cycle at the Barbican has received 5-star reviews. Ensembles and chamber groups from the orchestra have been performing. There have been family and children's concerts, and Sir Simon has also been conducting the new Young Orchestra for London. For the players of the Berlin Phil, the residency makes a pleasant change from the normal rush of touring. One night here, one night there. Principal horn, Stefan Dohr.
I love it. I have to say, I don't like so much packing my suitcase. So just being here for like 6 days in London, I mean, it's really like fantastic being here. And of course, I mean, playing these programs in a row is like quite a hard work, a bit of work for the orchestra. But I think it is another impact than only just coming for a day or two and just play one or two concerts, but also doing a little bit of education, some chamber music, and showing what we do. What our work in Berlin is beside the concerts. I think it's quite nice to do that.
Stefan Dohr, first horn of the Berlin Philharmonic, whose section will be very much in the spotlight in Mahler 2 this evening. Well, yesterday a lorry and a trailer filled with the Berlin Phil's instruments made its way across the Thames from the Barbican to the South Bank, where this evening the orchestra are joined by the mass ranks of the London Symphony and CBSO choruses, and as soloists, soprano Kate Royal and mezzo-soprano Magdalena Koschinar. Before Mahler 2, a work by the German composer Helmut Lachenmann, his Tableau for Orchestra, written in the late 1980s. Lachenmann describes Tableau as a big adventure in which his imagination was activated by different sounds and how they combine with infinitesimal variety. Think of the work, he says, as being akin to a theatrical blocking rehearsal in which sonic archetypes are moved around the stage like a series of sets. Well, after this morning's rehearsal, I met up with Lachenmann, and we discuss how his work sat alongside Mahler's Second Symphony.
Mahler is incredibly hot, warm, and full of emotion. My piece is totally emotionless, let's say. The most deep things you cannot say with expression, because there's no language anymore. For me, Mahler is an incredible musician at the end of the 19th century. He's still hoping to have a transcendent message. I'm a 20th century victim of looking in the structure of such a message. So such a music is a sort not to listen like Mahler, it's sort to observe. I like the word of observe because when observe a thing, you are not totally overwhelmed. Maybe you are enthusiastic in the best situation, and you are observing not only what happens, you are observing yourself, what happens in you. And this situation for me is a situation I'm working for.
Helmut Lachenmann, Well, during that, Dashin Kashimoto, leader of the Berlin Philharmonic, took his place on stage and the orchestra tuning. As Julian Haylock puts it in his programme note tonight, Tableau is a musical roller coaster, violently fluctuating its speed and direction, leaving us utterly exhilarated by the end. And here comes Sir Simon Rattle making his way onto the platform. The Berlin Philharmonic stands to its feet as we hear Helmut Lachenmann's Tableau for Orchestra.